What a terrible episode to be a part of.
I got pummeled today after work.
There's no way you went to Starbucks without me.
It's a 5-shotter white chocolate mocha.
Firing up my mom's laptop and just going ham.
He's just running, spamming his click, and he's just pounding kids.
And I was gaming, dude.
You know, like without that gun, you're banged.
That thing is filthy.
I might be getting scammed by some dumb TikToker who's spreading false information. And if you didn't like the game, you were just dog at the game. You sucked. And that's your problem.
And then they just ragged all, dude.
What is going on, everybody? No intro tonight. You can thank Sparkmaker for that. His mom has been canceling him from listening to the podcast, and we believe it may or may not be the intro. We'll get to that later. I am, of course, Coulter Fair. I am a host of the number one up-and-coming Valorant podcast. That's right, Valorant podcast. We are talking about Valorant tonight. Coulter Fair, a.k.a. Coulter. Welcome to the program. I am here alongside a good friend, and surprising to see him here tonight. There was some speak of maybe canceling tonight, but we both made it here, and one of those gentlemen is, in fact, my other half. Rogan Prescott, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Coulter. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think Sparkmaker definitely had an influence on that intro. And everyone can blame it on him. Everyone can.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're mad about it, talk to Sparkmaker, and more importantly, talk to Sparkmaker's mom. And hey, Sparkmaker's mom, if you're listening to this, you need to loosen up those reins, okay? We're not gonna plant the seed of anything dirty into your son.
I think we already planted it, dude.
That is a well-sprouted tree. Welcome to the program, everybody. What is this? Episode 67. We have some fat Valorant updates. The Yoru changes that we've all been waiting for. Excited to talk about that. And then we also have some more patch notes. Is that correct?
No patch notes, just Yoru.
Just the Yoru. I was wondering if we were on 4.01 or 4.02, but that's what we covered last week.
Yeah.
So the Valorant change is huge, and we'll get into it, of course. But talk to me on hot drinks, brother. Talk to me on that hot drink that you're sipping.
Huge update. The espresso machine is back up and running.
Let's go.
It was down. It was out of commission. It was ripped apart. Dude, it was completely ripped apart. Like, everything torn apart, trying to figure it out. It wasn't, like, pouring the shot. It wasn't grinding the shots, right? It barely was even pouring. As I was saying before, it was just dribbling out of this espresso machine.
dribbling is a word that was used, but squirting. You said it was also squirting out.
It was. It was a confirmed squirt. And there was definitely noises being made. It was filthy.
Sparkmaker's mom is back out.
Okay, so I didn't want to touch that espresso machine because I was just scared.
And it was squirting at you.
Okay, dude, if you don't do that intro, things just come out mid episode. It's better for you to just get it out in the beginning, I think.
Well, no, I don't think so, because it's like, if I let it rip at the beginning, that's what is sending the moms running home crying. But if I bleed it out, like, you know, a minute or more in, they might not catch that. Like, I guarantee you Sparkmaker just fired up the pod in their car, like on a family road trip, and it happened to be episode 22. And he got dirtied on. So, okay, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, the shots are no longer squirting at you.
Yeah. But dude, yeah, that thing was ripped apart. They are so complicated. It's actually wild. Like, the things that go into an espresso machine. Crazy. I was pretty blown away. Don't go ahead. Just hold that in, Coulter. Hold it in. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was dial on the espresso machine. We just had it was one tiny little, like, notch. We just had to change, and then it fixed it. So pretty wild on how, like, they have to be just precise. Just perfectly configured, and then you just don't touch them, and they'll work perfect. So I'm surprised. That thing's back in commission. I poured myself a double shotter. and I went the milk with the maple syrup because the Taj Mahal, it's not with us anymore. It's left me. And I don't know if I'll ever see it again. So we just have to run milk and maple syrup. But hey,
yeah,
no more squirting. So great drink, and it tastes fantastic. what do you think, John Coulter?
No more dribbling, squirting shots. That's always a good sign. Yeah, I mean, that's why espresso machines are made in Italy, right? Because they need to be quality. It's like you got intricate parts. It's like the same with watches. You know what I mean? There's really nice watches, and the reason that they're so expensive is because the parts are so small, and they got to be so precise, and that's what you're looking at in espresso machines too. Before I go on to my hot drink, I do want to mention Trusty. He did come in before we even started the stream at a tier one for 6 months. So he's on a 6 month streak. He's not letting that streak end anytime soon, and I think he might make a push for 100 subs tonight. We'll see. Stay tuned on that.
Fassage also subscribed.
He did. I missed that one.
Before Trusty for 8 months. So he's way ahead of Trusty there, 2 months ahead of him. Really the MVP Fassage. Of the podcast. So Fassage.
Yeah, Fassage is definitely a force to be reckoned with. I stopped by his stream. For those of you who do not know, Fassage on Twitch, that's Phisage. Really good streamer, one of our good friend of the podcast for sure. Trusty coming in with that tier one. As you can see, I come in with he may or may not shoot for 100 tonight, and I pull that one sub already from him. So
that was a great scam.
Trusty here, fantastic, yeah, getting there, both rammed and scammed early on in the pod here. Shelter coming through with that sub as well, dude. Let's go, man. Four subs before the party has even started, and I see a lot of subs on our horizon, baby. Patreon.com/flow_state_gaming. We are there as well. If you're going to waste your money, do it there, boys. Okay? There's no promised content. We're not going to give you a single thing, but
exactly.
Hey, if you're going to throw money at us, you do know it what? There first. Yeah.
Hey, we're scamming you, and you guys know it. That's the best part. It's not like empty, yeah, I mean, you know. They're not full of promises like, you know, a big streamer like, hey, you get merch, you get all these things, you get 8 extra bonus episodes. We're like, hey, you get nothing and you get scammed and you know what you're getting. You know, these other things you're buying into, you might not know. You might not know. Yeah. They might not deliver on everything, but we deliver on everything.
Yeah, we have 100% delivery rate because we set our bar so low that, hey, when we go ahead and we mess around and just give everyone in the Patreon a T-shirt. Well, that's going to just be bonus for us. So anyways, back to the program. Guys, actually, thanks for the subs. We appreciate you so much. Don't sub any more of this pod. That's plenty, plenty, plenty. So thank you guys for all the help. But hot drink. I'm running the standard tonight. Nothing exciting. Breeze over it because we got a lot to get into. Just a venti hot oat milk brown sugar latte. So the standard, as of right now, you guys know it. It's revealed itself as, you know, one of the top five for me. It's, I don't know, it takes me somewhere else. I'm not really sure. So, Trusty coming with that rating with a party of one. Get that out of our chat. That's a pathetic number. You don't raid with a party of one. That's not a party. That's just... And then you got Wavy Davey in here saying, Trusty raid, all caps. Get out of here, dude. It's just you. You're not raiding with anyone. It's not a raid if you're by yourself. Gosh dang it, dude. Those brothers. Okay. What is next? Announcements. What are we doing here?
Hey, how do podcast we announce, episodes do we are announce going from what now we talked on, about, or do we just skim by it?
I don't even know what we talked about. So let it rip.
Well, we talked about the future of the podcast. You know what we'll be doing and how deep of a hole we've dug ourselves in. Are we wanting to tell the community if our effort to resurface or not?
I mean, we can. As you guys have probably noticed, I guess I'll just start out here. What? There was a message deleted by a moderator. Okay, the chat is interesting. Bring that message back up because I want to see that message. guys get here live every Tuesday at 6, of course. You got to get in on this action. There's a lot of boys in here and a lot of chatter. There's a lot of discrepancies in the chat here. So what I wanted to say is you guys have seen me popping up in the the Discord once in a while. And I've been making an effort to show myself, and I think it's working. I think the community is getting aroused. I've been a little aroused myself, and yeah, making a little more effort. Why are these messages getting deleted?
I don't.
Is Mago sicko mode? Is he coming at us hard here?
He's coming at you pretty hard. I mean, I don't know what he's saying. I don't think it
matters.
Well,
who's deleting his messages? I just want to see it.
He says, with 8 viewers, you sure seem cocky.
Well, hey, I'm kidding, dude. Just let him see the messages.
Let him ride.
Let Mago Sicko Mode ride. I respect the name. I want to see it all. I seen a 42-year-old. I'm guessing that's maybe his age, or maybe that's the age he assumes me to be. I want to see these messages. Just let them fly. We're friends. We're not against each other here. Mago Sicko Mode is, in fact, a friend of the pod. Okay, Rogan, what are your thoughts here on how the podcast episodes are going?
Okay, so Colter and I both realized we made a fat mistake when we said we were too harsh when we stepped away from Valorant. We were like, hey, we're not touching Valorant. We're leaving. We're talking about other games. And I think that probably wasn't the route we should have went, because we still talk about Valorant anyways, and not because we feel like we have to, but because we want to. And even if we're not playing, we're not into the game 24/7. If we're not playing the game every single day, it doesn't mean we can't talk about it. Like, we can still talk about it. And I think, like, in my head, I was like, hey, if we aren't playing Valorant, like, we gotta leave, right? So I think, like, we talked about it. Like, we still talk about Valorant, and I think we both kind of want to cover Valorant, and then after Valorant, after news, after whatever, we talk about any other game, right? Other things that we want to talk about. So we'll cover Valorant early in the episode. What people want, and then later on, we'll kind of have our own topics on what we want to talk about. Pretty much, it's kind of like a win-win situation, right? So we'll still be a Valorant podcast / gaming podcast, and it's just hard when we're so generic, when we say, like, hey, we're just going to talk about games. Like, that's so hard to do. Having, like, a central game to kind of, like, work around, like Valorant or whatever, there's not enough content to talk about only about Valorant, so we have, like, different avenues that we can go down still. We can go down the route of Halo Infinite, but still keep it a Valorant episode. I think, yeah, that's what we talked about. I think it's a good call, or I'm excited about it, because I think we built a pretty sweet community just talking about Valorant. And a lot of people, our whole community still plays it.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Were your thoughts similar?
Yeah, I mean, dude, we're just gonna keep going. Like, I mean, like, we've kind of said it in the past, we're gonna cover the updates and everything. It's not like neither of us like Valorant or play it. Yeah, there was a lack of content, and there still is. And so it's not easy to talk about it 24/7. And I think, you know, the audience kind of understands that, but at the same time, I think you know, we did kind of give the wrong impression that we were just hard chopping it, which at the time we were. Like, I mean, I'm going to be straight honest. I haven't really played much Valorant at all recently. But, you know, I think the community knows that already. And so, yeah, it's all good, dude. We got exciting changes that I want to talk about. So it's like, you know, we'll continue to just talk about what we want to.
Yeah. That's it for my announcements. I mean, I don't think we're... Are we still doing... Do you still want to do our dumb weekly announcements?
I mean, I kind of do, but no, there's too much to get into tonight.
I think we just leave the announcements into the episode.
Yeah, right? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Sure. Yeah, community feedback. Talking about Spotify reviews, we currently have 4.7 stars and 14 reviews. So you can't rate, like, say something with a Spotify review. Very unfortunate, because I was really hoping to go through 14 reviews and, you know, just read what you boys have come up with. It's always fun. But yeah, looking at the 4.7 stars, we're definitely seeing some correlation between the Apple Podcast reviews and the Spotify reviews now. So there's one boy that gave us a one-star rating a while ago. I mean, a long time ago. And he's came back to Spotify to give us that one star, we believe. He's come back, and he's attacking us.
We believe this is the same perpetrator.
Yeah, he's resurfacing. Maybe from the other Flow State Gaming company that
it could be the
battle that we had.
Yeah, he's fondling us here.
So, yeah, I mean, unfortunate, but hey, 4.7, not bad.
Hey, we'll take it.
But anyone who hasn't reviewed, go review. 5 stars only, please. If you do a single star, don't. Just don't.
Well, we're getting our second one star from Sicko Mode. I think that's confirmed.
Yeah, that's confirmed. Chat. Yeah, we all know that.
I think that's our second one star. So, you know, that'll average us around 4.5. But, you know, I mean, 4.7 wasn't a very good number anyway, so.
That's true.
Anchor Spotify questions, brother. What are we looking at here? So Sparkmaker coming in first. I guess we can start there since we've already alluded to what's happening here. What is your favorite Vandal and Phantom? So what is your favorite? I think that and should be an or, Vandal or Phantom. Also, sorry I can't come to the streams. My mom won't let me. So that's a good question, and then an interesting little aftermath to the question. Number one, I'm sorry that your mom won't let you come. That's a net negative for us. We would like you and your mom to be here, but you know, we do understand why that cannot happen. So, you know, that intro, it is going to slap some cheeks the wrong way. It may be a little too nasty for some, but, you know, show your mom the new intro today and let her know that, you know, we're two fine young gentlemen that mean well. So hopefully your mom can join us. That would be nice. What is your favorite, Vandal or Phantom? I think I prefer the Vandal. I think when push comes to shove, I think that's just my favorite. I like the one shot potential. The Phantom, anytime I get a single, or when I get a headshot that's out of range and it doesn't get the kill, I immediately just swap to the Vandal because I'm like, okay, I hate this. But,
I think you're reading the question wrong. What is your favorite Vandal and Phantom? He's talking about skins there.
Wow, add that into the question. Like, what is your favorite Vandal and Phantom skins?
Yeah, it should have been there, I guess.
Well, obviously it should have been there. What is your favorite Vandal and Phantom? Let's see. If we're going there, oh man, that's a hard one. I actually really like the championship Vandal, that gold and white one. That one's pretty sick to me.
Is it the one that when you're on the top of the leaderboard, it like shines? The champion.
It like pulses. Yeah, that one's sick. Cool. I like that a lot. And then surprisingly for the Phantom, I like the... It was in the same bundle that they put out that two-handed sword. It was like the League of Legends-esque. I don't know what that Phantom is called, but it was some type of League of Legends combination. Do you remember that one? It has like the skull on the back.
Yeah, I don't know.
It kind of has like the smoke coming out of it. That would be probably my favorite. I know, it's super clean and it's rare. It seems like I don't see it often. So that one's definitely up there for me.
Yeah, huge.
Sorry if I answered that wrong at first, Sparkmaker.
My favorite Phantom is the Oni. It's crazy. I think the all the combinations are pretty sick. Every time I see one, I pick it up. I'm still waiting for it to go in my store. It's definitely tough when you just don't get that rotation right. You know, you just don't hit it right. And also, I have too many Phantoms to even... Yeah, it's too much. The Singularity Phantom I have, and it's pretty sick. I actually like that one a lot. For Vandals, I would say, like, the Sakura. I don't really love all of the Vandal skins too much. There's not a ton. I have the Glitch Pop, but it's just too messy. Like, you have the Dragon skin, and it's just not, like... it's so hard. It distracts you a ton. It's weird how much it does distract you.
Yeah, I don't prefer it.
So I honestly like the simplicity behind the Sakura. It's just kind of easy to see, and it's nothing crazy going on. So,
dude, the Reaver Vandal in the chat. That's a really good one too.
That one is good
for Vandals. Yeah, I really like that one. All right, moving on here. Lucer coming in with a question. So you guys know Lucer. He's the Frenchman, the young Frenchman. Very, very nice boy. I didn't even listen to the last ep because I got some people on the inside who told me I wasn't even in it. So get rammed and scammed. Thoughts on the Chinese New Year bundle being only 5,100 Valorant points. Lucer not making it into the last episode, so he's not listening. So as we were saying, he is doing this for clout. He's doing this for views. He's doing this for likes. He's doing this for attention. And I think he's getting the best of us here. I think he is winning this battle because he's toying with us here.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's doing. He has little birds on the inside. And unless he gets that recognition and that tickling that he likes, he's not going to be here. So that's a little concerning. And I don't want to fast forward 5 years and see where this ends because you just know it's not good. This doesn't end in any place healthy. So I don't know what we're going to do about this relationship, Lucer, but it's both awkward and a little weird. So since you are in this episode, you're, of course, going to be here, right? You're going to be listening to this. So message for you is you better watch yourself. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
And Lucer, we're gonna throw you in like mid-podcast, at the end, anywhere in between from now on. So you'll have to listen to the whole thing to get to it.
Right. Well, but he's saying, though, he has little rats that are listening that let him know if he was in the pod or not.
Well, yeah, I know. But, I mean, we're reaching out to those rats right now. And, hey, boys,
yeah,
we can get Lucer
together. Silence them.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, guys, turn on your beloved Lucer. Master Lucer.
You know your kings. It's very clear.
Yeah. See, they're in a divide right now. And, see, I was wondering when this was going to happen, when little sub-kingdoms would start to arise in our mass territory. But it's happening here with Lucer. He's taking control of a few members.
He's taking a ball of land here.
You can see his little village starting to build up in the distance.
Just a dirt hut that's being built.
Yeah, they're just slopping mud together and forming a little igloo, a little igloo of mud and straw.
Yeah.
So we need to stomp out that fire before it grows into something nasty. The Chinese New Year bundle being 5,100 Valorant points. I don't know if he's saying that that's not a lot or if that was a lot. I think it was a lot for what it was.
I think and that's the way still that they 70, have 75 bucks.
Well, or no.
It's about 50. It's 70. Oh, 50. Yeah, that's right. No. It's 5,100. Yeah, my bad.
It's less than 50 bucks. But the way they have it set up is,
yeah,
you know, to buy 4,000 Valorant points, it's $35. And then, so that's not enough to buy you the bundle. So you need to upgrade to the $50 Valorant point bundle, and that's going to get you the 5,800 Valorant points. And then that's enough to buy it. So they kind of scam you there because then you're left with like 700 Valorant points that you don't know what to do with. And that's all by design, of course. Anyways, I thought it was a little expensive. I wasn't really impressed with the bundle itself. So, you know, it wasn't for me. And I think $50 is a lot of money. So that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. No, $50 is a lot, I think. Obviously, it's cheaper than 9,000, what their previous one was. But these skins aren't like top of the line either. Not all of them are. You have like the Prime Odin, the Recon Spectre, and Origin Operator, and then a Vandal skin and a Ghost skin. But you get a whole pack, but 50 bucks is 50 bucks. That's a lot. That's a lot for you know, 5 gun skins. Hey, it's definitely good not to see it at, you know, $15,000, 15,000 credits, because who knows where Valorant would go. They could set it at that and everyone would still buy it. But I mean, like there's no skins in this pack that really make me want to buy it.
It really looks crazy. Like the sovereign skins, or it looks like some other skins that we've seen previously. And it didn't look like, I don't know. I think they could just be more creative. That was just my thought, but I know other people think differently. So hopefully some people liked it. And hey, the fact that it wasn't 9,000 credits, great. Maybe some people thought it was a steal, and good for them, right? So as long as everyone's happy with their purchase, then it's all good.
I'm curious on how hard it is to make a new skin pack. Like, it can't, it's not that hard. It's not like a game-changing fit change. Like, it, you just have a team make a gun pack completely different. Don't keep on bringing back these skins. I mean, the game is only a couple years old, right? It's like,
I know.
It's not like the crazy, you know, the first season of Call of Duty Warzone skin or whatever, right? Like the OG Fortnite skins. Like, you're not at that status right now. You've done, like, I don't know. I feel like they've done a ton of, like, bring back skins and, like, you know, they make up these little packs and throw in past skins in them. And that's zero work for them to do. Zero.
I feel like it's like, you know, it's one of those deals where it's got to be one of the main sources of their income. Obviously, I know they get tons from sponsors and they get a lot from tournaments and whatever. But I mean, microtransactions, skins is going to be a huge portion of their profit. And so, I mean, I don't know. I think you'd do a little more effort. But that was just my thoughts on it. Next question. You want to go ahead and read it?
I hate that you did that.
What?
Alvaro. This is his question. There's a period at the end of that name, so get rid of that, please. What is post-plant meta, and how did Riot ended it? I'm always late to the meta changes, and I never understood how did Riot make the post-plant metas end. Definitely some grammar there that you need to change, that you need to fix. It's hard to understand.
It is an interesting question to get a real grasp
on. I'm just going to grab this what is post-plant meta, just chop everything else off. And
how did Riot ended it?
Saying, like, did they change the post-plant meta?
I think that's what's happening here. So I think my interpretation of this, so we can cover the whole question, is what is the current post-plant meta? And then kind of how did they end the last one and how do they go about changing the post-plant metas, because he's always behind because he's not gaming hard enough.
Yep. And they have changed. They have. Especially with, like, the map changes. I think, like, Fracture and Breeze have very weird post-plant metas as well. I'll go ahead. So, pretty much, I think, like, the current, I haven't played a ton. I'm going to go off of, like, the last time I played for the post-plant meta is there's, like, some things that's changed, some things that haven't. I would say the introduction with, holy cow, I just forgot her name. What's the new agent?
Neon. Get Neon. With the tour, dude.
Wow, yeah, I know. Shoot.
Number one Neon podcast on the internet.
Like Neon, she's able to. I was actually playing her quite a bit, and she's like, you know, like the jump peeking for any bomb. Like obviously, like the post plant meta is playing time, is stretching out the time and long enough for you to hold the bomb, prevent them from defusing. You want to waste as much time as possible since you have, if you're defending it, you have all the time in the world. Only until you hear that defuse, right? You can pretty much stay in a corner until you hear that defuse time go off. Then it's like you have to do something about it. You have to get them off bomb, play time still, or just go for the kill. With Neon, her being able to, like, jump peek, I talked about this a while ago, but, like, on Haven, on C Long, you can just keep on peeking that over and over. And Neon, you can just run and slide and keep on, like, pretty much just tricking the person until the time runs out. Because, you know, you tap bomb, you're trying to hold it. Then you see Neon peek. She's just trying to look at you to see if you're still on bomb. You're still on bomb. Then she's going to peek again because she knows exactly where you're at. And then she's going to shoot you. So your only option is either to go for half, get half of the bomb defused, or stop the fusing and then try to get the kill when she peeks again. But even when you hold it, when you're still holding it, the second that someone jump peeks you or just like kind of sees you that you're on bomb, they're going to peek again because they know you're sticking, you're on bomb, and they know exactly where you are. So they kind of have a benefit and they know how to, they're going to swing out on you. So that's super, super, super tough to handle with like, yeah, when you have chamber and neon, people who can move way different places like Omen or Jett, being able to dash, you have people that have a lot more movement, unpredictable movement that you can't really, you don't fully know exactly where they are. Them peeking again, them switching where they're at, really, really makes it hard to stick bomb and get a defuse, in my opinion. And I think when someone does peek, like pretty much the only option if you don't have smokes is to hold it for half. I've kind of said it like a long time ago is that like getting half of the bomb is in, you have to do it. So in any way you can, if you have flashes or whatever, pretty much use your util to get the half. And then you have a ton more time to either push up on the enemy or go for the kill when they peek again. I found myself like you can either bait, you can bait somebody by if you just tap the bomb and then you kind of swing out. You swing away from the bomb so you're not just sticking on it. Because you know the person that's defending it, they know exactly where the bomb's at. They know exactly where they're going to peek and where they're expecting you to be. If you're at a different location, they won't. You're going to be harder to get hit on. Because they're swinging out, their crosshair's on the bomb, you're somewhere else, so you might be able to get that kill. But I definitely think like a while ago you couldn't do like the jump peeking as much because not many people did jump peek. It was more of like a situation of like where is the other person, and then it's like they're walking up on the bomb. It's not like playing for time as much. It's mainly like people were going for the kill, and now it's a lot more for the win because wins matter so much more that it's really just depends on the round. Like a person can easily win a round if they have the bomb planted in a nasty situation and the other team has three guys, they don't have any smoke, so they have to stick on bomb. But the other guy, he can just keep on peeking, playing for time, kill a guy whoever's on bomb, and he can play for time and he actually can get that win. He can get the 1v3 more often than he was able to. But I think the biggest part is still just playing for time right now. I think like the time is everything in the post plant meta, but I mean that's just my opinion. Coulter, do you have any other thoughts, man?
Yeah, good points. I don't know. I feel like there isn't one like standout meta right now. It kind of felt like you remember. It felt like for a second there when Viper got buffed, it was like the Viper lineups were just absolutely out of control. It happened with Killjoy too, and I know some people, a lot of people in fact, you know, still run the lineup game, and I think that's a really good strategy. But it doesn't seem as like dominating. It felt like for a second there, a few months, you guys would remember too if you've been playing consistently, that's kind of died down a little bit, it feels like, in the games that I've played. But as far as, you know, how they change the metas, that's just going to come with agent updates. It's going to be you know, when we do see a fat buff to, you know, maybe a certain agent's Molly, that Molly might be used differently. And in a post-plant situation, maybe that's the case. Like, so I don't really know, like Rogan said, you know, the map changing might change some of that as well. But yeah, nothing really big to add here. It feels like everyone's kind of doing their own thing. Everyone's kind of learned at this point what feels best to them. For one player, it might be lineups. For other players, it might be, you know, peeking and trying to delay as much like you were just mentioning. So, yeah, I don't know, Alvora. I don't really know what the current meta is. It doesn't feel like there is just one established meta. This is the only way to hold the bomb. It kind of feels like it's pretty all over the place, and I think that's where they want it. So, moving on to Thompson.
I do think it's in a good place because, like, with the, like you were saying, like the Viper, before she was nerfed, it was kind of gross, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it was just when there's those standout, obvious ways to play the game, then that's how people play it, right?
So that's a cool thing with competitive games is how it's always changing and how it's all always like evolving, because like you have people always wanting to be better. Like a new agent comes out, they have so many things that they can use to delay the bomb plant or whatever. People don't know how to work around it. Like when Yuru first came out, I was getting rammed on by him because I had no idea where his teleport was going. I had no idea like how his abilities worked. And like you just didn't really know. So like I was thinking like, oh wow, he's really like powerful. You know, 1 week goes by and he's not being played at all because everyone can expect that. So it's super cool to see how like Valorant, it's a simple game, but it also like evolves very often, and like the meta does change quite often.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that they change the map or add a new agent, it kind of shakes up how things are played, and that's obviously super critical because, like you said, people are just pushing for wins at the end of the day, especially at, you know, higher competitive levels. So yeah, I mean, it's always good to see some changes, and I think just a lot of that is going to depend on, like we mentioned before, the strength of, you know, a certain agent's abilities might swing the pendulum in one area in one time frame, and then, you know, the next agent comes out and it's something different. So yeah, it seems like it's switching all the time, but it feels like it's in a good spot where not every single person is doing one thing, and that's not something that's enjoyable to watch or play. So I'm glad that's not the case right now.
Yep.
Thompson 28, he's coming in with a good hot question here, one that we can answer and one that we can answer well. This is my first time going to Starbucks, and I'm a sensitive little peasant. What should I get for my virgin taste buds? Now, this is a question that I think Rogan and I can both answer. Now, you are talking to a two-time employee of the year. And of course, I'm better suited than Rogan ever will be to answer this question. But that's a joke. Rogan's working his way to quite the milk frother himself. First time going to Starbucks, Rogan, what are you going to order for Thompson? Something that isn't going to totally ram his rear.
Well, it's saying sensitive. But yeah, it definitely makes me worried.
No, he's going to feel whatever comes out. And so I think you want that to be a mild experience for a first time user. It's like cocaine, dude. You're not going to give a first timer a brick, right? You're going to give him a line. And so what's that line in the Starbucks line for Thompson here?
Coulter. Dude, that's such a tough line because caffeine hits people differently. I mean, I know you know, you can go for 10 shots. It'll ram you, but you can take it. Like you'll be able to, you know, you'll be alive the next day. You'll still be able to blow out. It's not like you're completely over. It's not like you're completely shredded. You know, for Thompson, if he did take 8 shots, you know, like he would be shredded. He wouldn't be able to stand up probably for 8 months after that is my guess. I don't think he would make it far. So, I mean, I would just say, you know, start off light. I think the classic vanilla latte, you can't go wrong with. I just say vanilla because it's kind of like the generic. I think it blends really well with coffee. It tastes really good. It's kind of like that generic taste. It's not like something really unique, like a lavender latte, like a lot of people like and a lot of people don't like. Shelter coming with a sub. Huge. 61
Shelter,
subs.
Thank you, brother. Crazy. That's, hey, gifting that sub to Mago Sicko Mode.
Let's go, dude.
Let's go.
Huge.
Hey, what Trusty needs to do is get on the line with Mago Sicko Mode. Tell him I apologize. Tell him I wasn't serious. I was kidding about your single man raid, right? Of course, we appreciate every viewer we can possibly muster. We're just a small, little, feeble village, right? I understand it. Sometimes I get up on my castle and I talk big game. But at the end of the day, I'm holding my pitchfork just like the rest of you boys, and I'm going to follow you into battle. So make sure Sicko Mode knows that as he now is part of the kingdom. Thank you, Shelter, making those amends. Trusty being on damage control. How bad is it, Trusty? Let us know that in the chat as I answer Thompson here. So, Rogan, you're saying vanilla latte, generic, you know, like you said, it's kind of a basic flavor. Everyone likes vanilla ice cream, so they're probably going to like a vanilla latte.
And I get that logic. It's got two shots in there. I don't think it's a problem. You go grande here.
No.
A venti is too much. Too much for a first-timer.
Well, yeah, that may have some validity to it. But, I mean, the thing is with the venti is you're just getting more milk.
Yeah.
So you're not getting more shots. So I almost think like a venti is more diluted. Trusty coming in. Let's go. Here's to amends. Giving that to KJP Rocks, my girlfriend Rogan's sister. What a great gifted sub. Thank you, Trusty, coming in at 97. Pushing for that 100, possibly tonight. But we may see it next week. Stay tuned to find out. We're using Trusty as our marketing scheme to push this pod forward.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Next week, you love to see that. Hey, drink one more IPA and let's make it this week, brother. That's a joke, obviously. Okay, so Thompson 28. I think you can go venti here if you want the volume because you're not going to get... The volume does not equate to blast. So... Because you're upgrading sizes doesn't mean that you're upgrading the condition of the blowout, okay? And that's important to realize because you're getting the same amount of shots in a venti as you are in a grande. So for all those that think getting a venti is going to get you more shots, it's not. You're not getting more coffee, you're getting more milk. So that's the difference there. So yeah, grande or venti, I would recommend a caramel macchiato. And I think... for the same reasons as Rogan, if nobody knows, the caramel macchiato is the number one selling drink at Starbucks, or at least it was when I was the two-time employee of the year. So I think that's holding fairly true in their market. It's the industry standard for Starbucks. It's very, very common. And all of that it is a vanilla latte with caramel drizzle. That's it. That's all a caramel macchiato is. And then the shots are put on top rather than mixed in. So, which is in theory better because you're not going to get dead shots in that situation. So I would recommend for a first timer to go ahead and hit up a hot or iced caramel macchiato. So, we have an Instagram message here. Hopefully that answered your question, Thompson 28. We have an Instagram message and it's a dirty one. And I don't know how we want to approach this because, again, we're being toyed with here. And Rogan, do you want to take the tip off of this iceberg here? Yeah, it's awful. It's awful. We have to go here.
Yeah, we have to go here since it's an Instagram message from Thompson. Another message from Thompson this week, and it was an Instagram message. You know, I got an Instagram request and I was like, oh, wow. Hey, we got an Instagram. That's great. You know, those are rare nowadays. That's very rare. It's like a loaf of bread instead of a breadcrumb. You don't get loaves very often. And I open it up and I see it's from Thompson. I see the username. It's pretty clear. And I start investigating that username there. And it's T_Thompson_28_. So I knew exactly what he was doing here. I knew exactly.
Yeah.
I clicked on that profile and I found out that he has zero followers and he's following one person and it's us. Yeah. So he obviously made this Instagram account on purpose just to follow us and send us a message. And he made that username with those three underscores.
That is
those
sick.
Three underscores that are very clear. That you can't miss them.
Well, dude, there's no reason to put an underscore between T and Thompson.
Yeah, no reason at all.
I mean, look at him in the chat.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is just toying, dude.
That is just aw- and then he just bangs you one final time by putting an underscore at the end for no reason. Because you know yeah. T_Thompson_28 was not taken. That name was available. But he put one more dumb underscore on the end just to really put the icing on the cake. And that is where that's the line for me is that last dumb underscore is seriously just sickening.
Imagine sickening. flow_stay_gaming_. You never do an underscore just, at the end.
That is just absolutely savage.
Yeah.
That is awful.
He's banging us here pretty hard.
They wouldn't let me put one at the beginning. Well, thank goodness for that, dude. But hey, it would have been better with one at the beginning, because then it at least makes sense. But now you just have a trailing little underscore that is just absolutely garb. Yeah. Just absolutely garb. So go ahead. Carry on.
Okay, so here's a message. Dearest my kings, where the frick is my Discord link? If you keep him hostage any longer, I will go to your castle and liberate him myself. With well regards, T_Hompson_28_ I hate that I had to say that.
That is awful, dude.
Yeah, so the Discord, I mean, hey, I think that's why our analytics are down, probably. Just no one can get to us. The castle gates are closed. The drawbridge has rose. The people are begging outside to come in, and we're just, you know, we're just enjoying our meal. We're enjoying our community with our peasants, and no one can get inside.
What the heck?
People are jumping off the castle walls. They can't get back in, you know, because they want out.
We're shooting people down from our castle walls and letting them fall to the masses, and they just can't get back in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because we've dug a trench around our castle and we filled it with tar.
So yeah, exactly.
Everyone's just squirming and slipping and sliding, just ramming each other.
Yeah, it's super unfortunate. Hey, I actually changed the Discord link last week when I was aware of
Thank goodness.
And it didn't.
Thank goodness.
I don't know if it's fixed now. It might not be fixed. So
probably not.
Yeah, Discord, fix your app.
It's probably a broken link.
Yeah, the links
if
are.
If only we had an IT guy.
Yeah. Well, if only. I need to call my IT guy.
Get an IT guy.
Yeah.
Call up Andrew, your boss. Okay. Moving on. So, dude, we need to get through this brochet bun.
Yeah.
Okay, and
terrible.
I think we are. Okay, I think our teeth have finally hit the mayo, and that mayo is sitting right on top of that juicy pastrami. Yeah.
I can't handle this, dude. All right, hey, Valorant. That topic
pastrami,
one, boys. Valorant.
That pastrami, you guys love and adore.
Aiming to launch episode 4, act 2.
Love that pastrami.
Coulter, I think you're the only one that enjoys that.
Okay, hey, no, ask everyone. It's everyone loves that analogy. Kidding. Okay.
Juicy meat. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Hey. Spark is here. So, Yoru changes. Gate crash. What are we talking here? Go through it. Let us know what happened. Are these changes rolled out? Is that something
no.
that we know?
No. They are not rolled out.
When are they rolling out?
Aiming launched during episode 4, act 2. So soon.
Next act.
Yeah, soon.
Okay.
So, gate crash. It can now be faked. So, Yoru can now fake his gate crash. That's his teleport. It leaves a... So, after he fakes it, he can throw out a teleport. He can choose to teleport it or fake it. If he chooses to fake it, it's going to make the same noise and everything, but it's going to leave a puddle on the ground. And that puddle, it just kind of notifies that that TP was faked. That teleport was faked. So, it's not... I actually really like this. So pretty much, you know, Yuri, you can throw out your TP, you fake it. You're on the other team. You hear this audio cue go, and you can hear that his, you know, Yuri's teleport. So it's gonna be that unknown of like, hey, did he actually teleport or not? And you'll be able to hear where that sound's coming from. And what that's gonna do, it's just gonna force them to like. You have to watch that area because you don't know if he faked it or actually went there. But the enemy has the option to walk over and look at where they heard that audio from or where like that teleport came from. And if they see that puddle on the ground, they know he faked it. It's a really cool feature because then like the other team, it's not like the footsteps where it's like it's an unknown no matter what. Like you don't know if he's there or not, right? Or like you can look at it, right? But I think it's just way better than the footsteps because it forces like the fake out, him faking the TP. It's going to be very good for Yuru, but also for the other team, they're going to know when he fakes it, not right away, right? They're going to have that option to take a look and see if he actually faked it or not. I think it's a good addition. I think like his whole idea is like throwing the enemy off, like, you know, just making sure like they don't really know what's going on. They don't know where he's actually at. Him getting behind like the enemy with his teleports. I think it's a nice change to his gate crash. I don't really know how it's going to be used exactly, but I do like, I like that option for him. I do. I think it's like pretty much his footsteps, you know, it's like a fake out, but it's all in the same thing. It's his teleport as well. So we can choose to teleport it or just choose to fake it. And then Coulter, you can cover the dimensional drift. That's his ultimate. If you want to put your thoughts on Gig.
Did you talk about his footsteps?
Yeah.
The fake out?
No, I didn't. Not yet.
Do you want to do that before the alt?
Oh, dog. I kind of forgot. I didn't even look at his footsteps.
Okay, well, I'm going to give my thoughts on Gatecrash. So basically, this ability just got buffed in a pretty significant way. This is a huge, huge, huge buff for Yoru overall, obviously. I think we all know that. He needed it, and this is really going to change the way he's played, and I think it's going to be enough to really actually bring him into a place that's kind of decent. So with this ability to do the fake teleport to initiate that audio on Gatecrash that the opponent is going to hear. Like Rogan said, you have to check that area because you're not going to know if he teleported or not. So that's obviously huge for a lot of reasons, and some of those reasons are obvious. And some of them I think are going to be a little more nuanced, and we're going to see kind of that ability come to life later on. I think, like, think of yourself in a 1v1 situation that teleport got a lot less effective because you couldn't make a play on your enemy without them knowing what you were doing. And that was the whole entire problem. You know, we all kind of, I think, noticed the strategy. The main strategy with Yoru was to throw your Gatecrash into sight, and then hit the opponent with a flash, and that would kind of mask the sound of the Gatecrash going off. And that was kind of the prevailing strategy to use because it was kind of one of the only ways to make this ability really effective. Unless you were using it as a rotate, which is kind of how I ended up using it if I did at all. So obviously I'm not the best Yoru in the game, and I'm sure there's a lot more creative ways that people found to use this ability, but I think this, it really makes it a better ability for 1v1 situations or 1v2. Like, it just makes it a better ability overall because they're not going to be sure if you've teleported there or not. And that's kind of the big deal, because you can send that teleport one direction and then be moving out, hit that initiate, and so they hear the audio of you teleporting. But if you haven't teleported, you might have an angle that you wouldn't have had before. So I think that is a massive change. It's such a small tweak, but I think it's going to have big results. Next is the fake out. Now, these are the footsteps, right? The footsteps that nobody used, and if they use them, they kind of felt really underwhelming. And, you know, even from a pro level, like we've said it before, it was kind of interesting watching the really high level Yoru players. They were just throwing these footsteps everywhere and anywhere, just hoping that they would have some type of impact. So it looks like we only have one charge of fake out now, I think. And how this is going to work is it creates a hologram of Yoru. So it's now a visual decoy as well as an audio decoy, which that's the first big one. What's massive about this is if this decoy takes any damage, it's going to flash whoever dealt the damage. So it turns that direction and flashes. And it seems like it's a pretty quick animation. So there's a video on, you know, Riot Games with this showing how that works. The direction that it takes damage from, it immediately turns that direction and flashes. Like, it looks like in a cone of, hard to say, maybe, oh man, 90 degrees or so, a cone fanning out. It's not quite 180 degrees. It's more narrow than that. But so whoever does damage to it is going to get a flash coming in their direction. That's how this is going to work. So that's really, really big because he's already has the flashes currently. And then this is another potential flash, especially if you throw this right on opponents as you're pushing them. They're probably inevitably going to hit this this decoy by accident, and it's going to create another flash. So talk to me on this, Rogan. What are your first thoughts on this? It's obviously huge. It's a good direction, but what are your some of the more fine detail thoughts that you have about it?
Yeah, I got the abilities wrong. I just got them mixed up, and I I was so lost there. But yeah, so his fake out definitely, like, it, his footsteps didn't matter. It, like, previously it was super, super lame ability. Everybody just threw the footsteps out just because they could. They could just throw it out because whatever, right? Now, I mean, you have like a fake body running out, and the enemy, if they do hit it, it's gonna flash him. I think it's a super cool idea. I think even pushing out corners, like maybe even like Yuri might be even a better entryer. You know, his role is a duelist, so it might. I think this ability kind of fits that. Because even like using this decoy as almost like an initiator to get on site, they can throw a decoy out, and then, you know, a teammate can run right behind it, right? And then they take the first shot at Yuru, and then they can swing on him. So it's going to be a whole different ability to like swing out on corners. Great ability to peek and initiate sites. I think it's going to be it's a great addition to Yuru. I think only having one charge, I think that's probably the right call. It might be a little, maybe two decoys might be a lot. I'm just curious to see on how easy it is to tell if it's a fake. And
I mean, you can see from this video here, it's pretty easy to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be those knee jerk reactions that are going to get you in trouble here.
And that's why I was saying, I think it's not going to be the flash as much as it is like. The initiating, like someone sees you, they're going to kind of flick to it, but they won't shoot, and then you peek right behind them, right? So it's just going to be like maybe a little bit of a delay for the enemy, and so you can get the kill on him.
Yeah,
just that kind of muscle memory that the other team will have to flick on Yuru. It might not and work the same as like a certain, it might not work as a flash every time, but it will still help, which is cool. But yeah. I'm excited to play him when it comes out.
Me too, man. I mean, everyone here knows that I spend a lot of time on Yuru, and I really, really, really made a huge effort to make him work. And I did. I mean, I played in a lot of Platinum games, and I held my own with Yuru. It just never felt good. And so I'm really thinking that this could be it for him. I think you know, just even these two changes alone are absolutely massive, but I think it's time that we get into the dimensional drift. Now, this is his ultimate. This is by far and away the hugest change coming to Yuru. It's really, really massive. His ultimate before was extremely underwhelming. It didn't feel near, like, you know, when you were comparing it to some other ultimates in the game, it just was lacking a lot. So a lot of changes. Rogan, why don't you go through the changes here, and then we can give our thoughts on it.
Yeah, so the dimensional drift, Yuru is no longer revealed to enemies. He's able to cast all of his utility while in dimensional drift, so he's able to cast a decoy and able to cast his gate crash. Enemies can now can hear Yuru's footsteps, so enemies could hear Yuru's footsteps when he's in his ult. They can hear where he's going. Nearsight is removed while in ult. So that's, I would say that's one of the biggest, because he used to have a nearsight when everyone is an ultimate. He could only see up close. It was kind of like a Reyna blind. And it was Yuru, you know, him going on site with his ultimate, it was really good for info. He could just ping where the person was at, and it gave the team great info. Now, with that removed, he's able to see pretty much everything. So with his ult, him running in on site, he'll be able to get everyone's location. There's enough time to run all through the entire site and clear all the cubbies with his ultimate to see where everyone's at. You know, before that near site, you couldn't really tell exactly where everyone was at. You didn't have enough time because you couldn't see much. With that removed, I think it's going to be really, really good for intel and entering on site. And then the unequipped delay time is increased slightly. So him going out of his ult, this makes sense just because, you know, he's no longer revealed to enemies. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a little harder to track where he's at. Him going behind an enemy is probably going to be a lot more often. He's probably going to be able to make it to your spawn. It's going to be a lot of unknowns. So him unequipping that a little bit slower, I think that's it's a good balance. And then it's cast delay added when casting dimensional drift, preventing the invulnerability frame on cast. So yeah, I mean, I'll just give my quick thoughts and you can, Coulter. I think it's actually a really good balance. I know his dimensional drift, it just felt weird. It didn't really feel very useful. It was kind of like those footsteps where you almost just used it just to throw it out. And it was only effective in those niche like situations. I think these changes, they really balance out the fact of getting the info that your team needs in a reasonable amount of time. And also, I think it's just going to be really good for entering on site. Like I was saying, like being able to see your entire team. And then as he's laying, he can lay down decoys. He can lay down his gate crash, laying down his hologram while he's going out. It's just going to create a little bit more chaos. I think he's going to be able to do a lot more while he's in his ultimate and not just being only recon. He'll be able to do a little bit more, send some flashes out. So do a lot. I'm super excited for it. Do you have anything, Coulter? I haven't played Yuru, but you're the Yuru main. You're the animal.
Yeah. No, I think so obviously these changes make dimensional drift, a lot stronger, but I think they have done, you know, some little mitigating changes to make it not, because I mean, on the surface, if you think about this, you know, imagine Yuru using his ultimate, it's a 1v1 situation, he uses his ult, he flashes you, and then he comes you know, visible, he gets out of his ultimate and he just bangs you. You don't know where he is, you're just flashed. But so like it mentions here, they've taken you're no longer revealed to enemies when you're in the ult, but they counter that with they can hear you. So, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of a give and take with some of this. Or your near sight is reviewed, but that unequipped and casting are both, that animation is going to be drawn out a little bit. So we all remember, like, anyone that played Yuru knows it was kind of weird feeling when, you know, if you got swung on and you use your ultimate immediately, you would kind of be doing the animation while you're getting shot at, while you're getting hit, and there was no damage that you were taking. And it kind of felt weird because you're sitting there putting your mask on while you're getting beamed. And that's no longer going to be the case. So I think until you're invisible, you'll be able to be hit. And so that's going to, you know, that kind of decreases its value. Like, you're not going to be able to use it as much in the middle of a battle. You're going to want to make sure that you're not stuck with your pants down when you initiate that animation. And then the unequipped delay time, that is to counter that idea that we were just tossing around of, you know, I don't know how long this animation is going to be. I haven't played the new Yuru patch yet. I don't know if, you know, I think this is going to be a little bit of a counter to that idea of throwing a flash and then coming out of the ultimate right away with your gun up to bang that person that you just flashed. Yeah. So there might be a little bit of a delay there where they might have a chance to actually get a shot off on you before your gun is up and ready. And I think that that's a good balance because this could get annoying. Like, the fact that Yuru can cast all his abilities while he's in the ult is absolutely huge. I mean, guys, think about this. Like, talk about taking this character from somebody that didn't feel like he didn't feel like an entry at all. And these abilities are pushing him into that spot in a really tremendous way. And I mean, if you're able to use this ultimate and you're running on site, flashing people, setting your teleport in areas that they can't, like, think of on bind. If you're going to attack A and you use your ultimate, you could literally run into their spawn, send your teleport to B. You can fake that telly. Like, you can, it's just going to open his arsenal of ideas. I mean, it's going to get out of control. And so I think he's going to be a really, really good entry. I think that this is exactly like you mentioned, Rogan, sending the fake out right away. I mean, that's going to be your entry ability.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to run with that ability while you're flashing. So now he has three flashes on him because you know that that little decoy is going to get hit, especially if that thing is running in front of the mob. You send that in first and you're right behind it. People are going to attempt to shoot you and they're going to hit that dumb decoy and it's going to flash the knackers off them.
Yep.
And that's when you're going to bang them. And so that combined with the two flashes that you already have, and those were never bad. We did, I mean, I had my frustrations with, you know, the flash hits a nick on the wall and goes into a direction that you're not thinking it will. And that's just always going to be how it is with his flash, I think. But that's manageable. You see people place these flashes really well, and it's just something that you got to overcome. And that's definitely doable. So his flashes were never really that bad. And you could kind of get him into angles that maybe other agents couldn't get their flash. So I think overall, man, I think he's going to be a lot stronger, and I think he's going to be in a place that, you know, might be competitive with some of the other entries in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
don't think they did like any wrong things here. All the changes that they made, it was what I expected. I don't think they fell short of it. So yeah, I mean, I hope he, you know, it always looks good in these patch notes, always looks good when they come out with these, you know, state of the agents or like future updates that they're going to do, but you just never know how it's going to play. I really hope this like makes him stand out, and really puts him in that roster of like the duelist lineup.
Well, I kind of actually want to read this. I hadn't read this paragraph, their thoughts on the ultimate, until I was just kind of glazing over it as you were just speaking, and they hit on some of the same points that we did. So I want to read this just word for word, what they said. And, you know, this is going to tell the audience, so for those of you that maybe can't read the patch notes, this is going to let you know what their thoughts are on these changes. And this is just referring to the ultimate. So reducing the amount of time Yoru can stay invisible should also stop the invincible Yoru from simply dancing in his enemy's face. So that's that animation time that we're talking about where he just was invulnerable when he was doing the animation. So you're actually going to have less time invisible, which is interesting. The new unequipped time is meant to hinder the combo of blasting shortly right after switching to invisible. So that's what we mentioned, right? That could get annoying, and they see that. An added delay to his invulnerability stops Yoru from relying too much on running around with his mask in his hand and jamming it on at the first sight of danger. So again, those are some of those mechanics that they just felt weird when it came to his ultimate. It wasn't really, I didn't feel like that huge of a hindrance, but they saw that too, and it just felt clunky and not clean. Instead, Yoru can now see the battlefield unhindered. So that's that vision that he now has, no more near sight, allowing him to enter enemy zones, take in the state of the map, and mastermind a play. Based around Yoru's change that allows abilities during his ult. Imagine a Yoru that can send teleporters into new places. So we kind of hit on that. Imagine going deep into spawn, throwing a telly there, insane. Deep behind enemy lines, place flashes to move enemies off angles for his team, or possibly land the perfect blind to mask his de-stealth and claim a frag. So you're still going to be able to do that flash and come out of the ultimate. You're still going to be able to do that technique, which is nasty. You're going to be able to do it better now. We think this update unlocks a lot of possibilities for a drifting Yoru, and we hope that it helps bring some of his fantasy of stealth infiltration to life. So that's how they're feeling about it. And that's kind of how the changes look on the surface. Like Rogan said, everything changes once it hits the open market and people start playing with this. I mean, we've seen some good ideas go really wrong, Sage Nerf. But I think overall, this is going to be good, dude. I'm really excited for this.
The fact that the enemies could hear the footsteps of Yuru is, I think that's, I don't know how that's going to work out, because, you know, if the entire team is guarding every entrance, Yuru running through, like, they're going to be able to hear him, and then I wonder how easy it is to follow the footsteps, right? Because his unequipped time is longer, so, like, if you just stay on his tail, you might be able to just kill him before he's able to, you know, have any chance.
I think that's true, and I think you're going to have to use your flashes and your teleport
and that's what I like, that. Because it's not like you can see him when you're close up. It makes it so it's like, I think you're going to have to think about it, I think, a lot more. Like, you know, you're just going with his ultimate and then teleporting back. He has a lot more to do, like, a lot more to work with. I think this is forcing him to use his flashes, use his teleport a little bit more. And kind of work as, like, a whole. His abilities were kind of worked together. Like, I feel like before, his abilities never really worked, like, together too much. You could use the flash and then the teleport, but I feel like people just got used to that way too soon. I think he's going to be played with his ultimate a lot. His, like, every ability around his ultimate, him being able to lay down all these different things, it's going to be massive, I think.
I think so too, dude. No, I'm really excited for this. It makes me want to play Yoru in a big way. So I think these changes are what he needs.
Yeah. That's it for Valorant. That's all I had. Anything else, Coulter?
No, I think I think that about sums it up.
Talk to me, dude. Halo Infinite, how are you feeling?
Feeling good. Won't spend too much time here. Yeah, Halo Infinite feels good. I think it's, like, I think we mentioned it before, maybe just a little bit lacking on the launch. I think everyone kind of feels that way. I think they needed more maps. I think that's kind of a given. But overall, I mean, I absolutely love the gameplay. I love the feel of Halo. Love it a lot. So I'm playing a lot of Halo.
Are you still in it for the long haul?
Still in it for the long haul. That's definitely my feeling as of right now. So I'm Diamond 1 now, made it to Diamond. So that was kind of nice.
Let's go. That's awesome.
Yeah. I feel good about that. I think I have a shot. Excuse me. I have a shot for Onyx here that I'm gonna shoot for.
So can you remind me again? We're on season 1 of Halo. Next season, it's co-op campaign for next season?
I think, yeah. So they're going to bring co-op. And I think so they're kind of doing, by the sounds of it, again, this is all, some of it is speculation, some of it has been confirmed, and I don't know which is which. I don't know how much of what is what, but the word on the street is, like, every season they're going to kind of cater towards a certain game. So season 1 was Heroes of Reach. And so the battle pass and everything that is kind of surrounding the storyline is about Halo Reach. So, you know, for all you Halo fans, like, you know, that a lot of the skins that you unlock are Halo Reach characters. And so that's huge for some people. And apparently next season, season 2, is going to be based off of Halo 1. So I think that they're going to introduce maps from whatever season that they're currently on. Like, imagine, you know, they drop Blood Gulch from Halo 1. Like, I mean, that's just going to be nasty to be able to play that on the Reach servers Infinite. To play it on, like, that engine is going to be, that's going to feel good to a lot of people and bring back a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah, I think
so. That's
so exciting.
That's what I'm hoping for, dude. If they can pull that off, because they have such a deep well to draw from.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much. Like, they have no idea what I would pay for a Halo 3 Hayabusa armor. Like, it's just crazy, right? Because that's 6 years of my life I invested in one of their video games, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And it's just a big part of my life. And a lot of people are in the same boat as me. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think they're going to do, like, Halo 2 after that? Are they going to go in, like, order?
I think so. I think, I don't know what order the games are really in, because I'm not deep into the lore. But Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're probably just going to go in order of like when each event happened. Like, I think okay. Reach was before Halo 1, but yeah. I'm not sure.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Elites. Fassage, good point. They need to bring in playable elites. Like, how you could be an elite in Halo 3. Absolutely mad. It was fun. So, and stuff like that. Like, exactly. Fassage. That's exactly my point. They have that to add. Yeah. And so, I think some players were kind of expecting more of those moments in Season 1. And I mean, technically, the game is still in beta. Fortnite was in beta for 4 years or whatever. I mean, I don't know where this goes. But, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that they just ram the content into Halo Infinite because it really, really plays like a true Halo game, and it feels really good. So yeah. I'm hoping for that.
I'm hoping to see a build up. Like, the launch wasn't fantastic, but their growth plan, I hope it's just fully laid out. You know, 2 years down the road, every single person is playing it. Or you have a bigger player base than today. I think, like, I guess that's my vision, and I hope that comes true. I'm really excited for that.
Yep.
Nice, dude. I'm glad you're still enjoying Halo.
Yeah, buddy.
I was playing with you, and it's just so much fun, dude.
It's so fun.
I had a blast to play with you. Brought back memories. I just have one more thing to talk about. Apex Legends. That's a game I've been playing. That's why I'll just talk about it real quick. There's a new season that just came out, season 12. It's called the Defiance Update. These are just the quick changes. New legend. Her name's Mad Maggie, and her passive is the new season came out today. So her passive, it highlights enemies that you've damaged. So if you hit them, they'll be highlighted through walls. You'll be able to see where they're running at. And then there's no movement penalty when wielding shotguns. So whenever you hold a gun in Apex Legends, it slows you down. So running with your hands out, running with nothing that you're holding, it makes you run a little faster. So you're going to be running like that while you're holding your shotgun, which is cool. So a little bit faster. And then Riot Drill, this is her ability. It's her Q. It's a fire drill that attaches to an obstacle and burns enemies on the other side. So this is identical to Breach on his, I think it's his Aftershock. It shoots through that wall, Coulter, then it like bursts out the other end. That's kind of like, it's a direct replica of this ability. And then her ultimate is Wrecking Ball. It throws a ball that releases like a speed boosting pads and detonates near enemies. It's just a ball that rolls and kind of like bounces. It's pretty sick looking. Her abilities are really cool. And then changes to the maps, Olympus, and then a bunch of changes to some weapons, ranks, and crypto changes. So Fassage in the chat, he's a crypto main, and I think he's probably enjoying this patch right about now. And then the flatline was reduced by damage. It's very sad to see. The flatline is a great weapon. I haven't played it yet, but I'm really hoping it's still fun to use. Dude, Coulter, I've been playing Apex a lot. I got my cousin Connor, Mac Finn, in the Discord.
Yeah,
I told him about Apex. I absolutely hooked him. I grabbed
his
scrotum and just pulled them down into the depths of Apex Legends. And he's been playing every time I look on Steam, he's on. So I really showed him the way there. Guys, for a free to play game, if you guys enjoy movement at all, you'll enjoy Apex. I think it's one of the best games with like the movement mechanics. It's so much fun to play. So much fun to play with movement. I just read it was the last year Apex Legends their player base growed by 30% in the last year, which is wild. That's like a ton of people. So super cool. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I hope everyone's excited for the new season. If you guys haven't tried out Apex, I really hope you guys want to. Coulter, we're an hour and 18 minutes in. What are you thinking?
Let's wrap this bad girl up, dude. Let's get it done.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, dude?
I don't think so, brother. I think we have We have more to cover next week, but I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with cutting it at an hour and 18.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Right? Leave some juice for tomorrow. We got a little, looks like we have some generic topics that Rogan wants to cover.
That was just if, yeah.
Which I, yeah. Yeah, I know, but I love that. And I think our viewers do too. So that kind of makes me excited for next week.
All right. Well, you guys have been listening to the Flow State Gaming Podcast, episode 67. Where we talked about Valorant. Welcome back. We're back in Valorant, the game that we don't play, but we love to talk about. I'm excited for the new changes. I really am. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Hope you guys all have a great week. We are live on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. Twitch, flow_state_gaming. I don't want to say the underscores, but they're there. If you don't look at those underscores, you won't find us.
We're not in the algorithm.
Yeah, it sucks. All right, have a great week. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.